Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Well, happy Monday afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another week of the Eagle Hour on the Super Talk Radio Network. We're glad you're with us to kick off another week. Bob Getty and Luke Johnson. We're in the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel this afternoon. We're glad you're with us wherever you're tuned in. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, great supporters of Southern Miss, and a great place to cater the next event for your business or your family. We've got tailgating just around the corner. Dickey's would be a great place to call and get it all lined up, and you'll have the tailgate of the year if you choose to go with Dickey's. Busy, busy week for the Eagle Hour. We're going to be on the road 2 days this week and got some great guests coming up. We're going to talk more about that in a bit. But first, we want to kick off the week. No better way, as far as I'm concerned, than bringing Jack Duggan, Sports Information Director for Southern Miss, on the show to start a new week. And, Jack, we're glad to have you back on the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Bob. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure here. Lots to talk to you about. Football season obviously underway now with football practice. And a lot of questions. I know you've been at the practices. But, you know, Jack, one thing that as I was reading a review this morning about the early practice – that just jumped off the page at me. I want to read the size of the starting offensive line. Takeem Dawes, 6'5", 355. Jergaine Scott, 6'4", 325. Arvin Fletcher, 6'3", 320. Hayden Foxworth, 6'3", 315. Coker Wright, he's the little guy, 6'4", 290. Jack, that sounds like an NFL football team. Is that what is just standard now in Division I football, kids of this size?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, you certainly want to be a big up front. You want to be able to block for your quarterback who does a lot of passing now. You know, that's a big part of the game. And then also, you know, you like to have those big bodies up front to get that running game going. But, you know, in addition to that, you want what's crazy is not only are those guys big, but they're also agile, and they also can move a little bit too. You know, it's for a lot of people that big, it's tough to get around quickly. But those guys, if you get a chance to see them, it's a very athletic group.
Back up 6'4", 305. These are the second string linemen as listed today. 6'5", 320, 6'2", 285, 6'4", 290. But this is the one that really gets you, Jack. Matt Reels, 6'8", 335 pounds.
Yeah, Matt. You know, his dad played here back in the late 80s. He's from Purvis, and you know, had a great block today in practice. And you know, one of the younger kids on this offensive line, and you know, those guys are in a period now where they're being judged and evaluated every day. And you know, looking to see if they can play and help contribute, you know, to this ball club in 2021.
And they'll be blocking, of course, for Frank Gore, who goes into camp as the, I think it's fair to say, the star running back on the football team. But how deep will the Golden Eagles be, or does it appear at this point in practice at that position?
Oh, I think it'll end up being deep. I mean, you got obviously Frank will be the feature back, I think, at least come out of camp. You, Darius Mayberry's back. You had D. Baker, Brandon Hayes from Oak Grove. I think he might run some at the running back position. And there's a few other guys, you know, back there that are going to be get a chance to run the football. So I think skill wise, you know, not only that, you know, at the wide receiver, you know, we got a really young core that's going to join Jason Brownlee and DeMarcus Jones and Antoine Robinson. That, you know, we're going to have, you know, more bodies there as well. And I think, you know, the one thing that a lot of people have talked about, at least media wise, it looks like Golden Eagles are going to have a lot more depth this year.
And that's a good thing, obviously.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I mean, the more guys that you can have that are capable of playing this level, you would think the more success you would have.
Now, Jack, I don't mean this in any way as detrimental toward the previous regime, but obviously Coach Hall and his staff have a different approach. Practice is wide open to the media. That's new. But I'd like to get your observation early on. I realize it's early, but what is the difference you see in the vibe of the football team?
Well, it's always a tough thing to answer. You know, the one thing that you do see is that it looks like they're all in for each other. You know, it's all about team, and I think that's something that Will Hall, you know, preaches to his guys. He loves on his guys. He's sometimes it's tough love, but and you know, I think it really shows. It really shows not only through him, but his collection of assistant coaches. For the most part, a younger group, but one that has had a lot of success in where they've been before. So it's going to be interesting. Now, you know, he said, what after practice today, which I thought was pretty good. You know, he said we're building a program, not a team, but a program, and you know, he wants something that's going to last, you know, for years and years and years, and bring back that tradition. You know, he's not just shooting for that one good team, and you know, he just wants to build. Meaning, Will Hall wants to build this program, you know, back up, and you know, he's just continuing to do that day by day, especially in the early going with fall camp.
Luke, get in here with Jack Duggan.
Jack, we made a big deal of it last week, but I think anybody that's been live at practice or seen pictures of practice has just really talked about how Trey Lowe has really just developed physically. I mean, he's some pictures from the Manning Passing Academy. He was bigger than a lot of other D1 quarterbacks, and I'm hearing it from even casual observers, people that see the pictures that you post. I guess he is just a different animal this year, and everybody's kind of looking at him to carry the ship.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, that was the big point of conversation after Thursday's practice, Friday's practice, the first practice that we had was how big he had gotten. And we were fortunate. We had a really, really huge media contingent on the first day, and you know, that's what kind of was the buzz. You know, was how big he had gotten. And so when you head towards September 4th in our first game, you know, he's the guy that, you know, I think they're looking to. You know, obviously coach hasn't named a starter yet, a quarterback, but you know, he's a guy, you know, right off the bat they're looking to be the signal caller. And you know, it just looks like he just keeps getting better and better every day in practice.
Frank Gore Jr. is his own man, obviously, but you know, you as the sports information director, he kind of, I guess, gets a few other looks from around the country and allows Southern Miss football to be viewed by some people that, you know, may not watch the Golden Eagles but are intrigued simply because of what his dad has done. Have you had that or seen that happen with him and leading up to this point?
A little bit. I mean, he's drawn some interest from some media types, you know, outside our footprint, and we've certainly tried to accommodate as many as we can. But you know, you also see it in some reports that you know, maybe off of Twitter, like his first touchdown run last year. You know, New York Post did a little story on it, and you know, you see kind of clips from media outlets or all around the country. So, you know, when you have a young man like that who obviously has a successful father in the same field, you know, certainly there are going to be comparisons that are going to be made. And I mean, you know that the National Football League is a huge, huge animal in terms of how they generate publicity. And so certainly some of that is going to weave into Gore's son, which would be Frank Jr. And, you know, that's who we have. But you know what? What a great kid, though. I mean, you know, I've been around. You know, I wasn't around him a whole lot last year just because of COVID, and you know, we did a lot of our interviews via Zoom last year. But you know, I got a chance to kind of be around him a little bit. You know, he was interviewed first day of practice, and you know, it looks like he's always has a smile on his face. And I know that's one of those things that people say. But you know, he's been a real joy to be around and certainly has been a great ambassador for our university.
We're talking to Jack Duggan, Sports Information Director. That's how we're going to kick off the week on the Eagle Hour. Jack, can you hang on this short break?
Sure.
We'd like to continue the conversation.
Sure, Bob.
We'll do that with Jack, talk a little more about football. Jack just gave us some baseball rules that only Jack Duggan would know about. We may ask him a little bit about that as well. Our conversation with our good buddy will continue on the other side of the break.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Welcome back. Eagle Hour, this segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathleen and her staff, fantastic people right across the street from the Southern Miss campus, or you can shop them online at campusbookmart.net. We're talking to Jack Duggan, Sports Information Director of the University. Jack, just got confirmation from Coach Berry that the newest member of the Golden Eagle coaching staff, Ben Brewer, will be on the radio show Wednesday. You were telling me during the break you've met Coach Brewer. You think he's a great addition to the staff?
Oh, there's no doubt. Coach Brewer, we've sat down and talked a few times since he's been here, and you know, I've heard nothing but good things about him. And you know, he coached under Coach Denson for a little while up in Belhaven. And so he comes highly recommended, and we look forward to him joining our staff and me getting to know him a little bit better once we keep going towards the 2022 baseball season.
Well, I was delighted to hear you tell me that he had coached for Hill. Now I know he'll have some entertaining stories Wednesday.
There is no doubt about that. You know, you can't be around Hill for very long and not have good stories.
Right. I want to get back to the personnel on the football team, but one thing I guess I have to ask you about, unfortunately, I thought we'd be past this by the time we talked again, but apparently not. COVID's still out there, in some senses worse than ever. How has that affected practice, your protocols, the things that you and the football team are having to do, Jack?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of difference in what we have been doing. You know, certainly we're monitoring, and you know, with the way that you know, you view vaccinated people versus unvaccinated, it kind of changes things a little bit too. So, you know, I think we're going to, you know, continue to closely monitor, and, you know, we're going to stay on top of it. At least, you know, that's what, you know, our leader, Jeremy McClain, has told us. So, you know, we're wearing masks, indoors and you know, just trying to do our part to stem, you know, this surge that we've had with the Delta variant.
And no reason to believe for the fans that there would be any restrictions at this point on attendance when the games kick off.
I've heard nothing to that effect.
All right, let's get back to football. Two kids that are great kids, big additions, are big important players defensively. Linebacker Swayze Bozeman and Hayes Maple. And I know both of those kids have been injured, kind of limited what they're doing so far in camp. How optimistic is the staff that these guys will be ready when South Alabama game rolls around?
Well, I think there's optimism for both of them. Probably more so for Hayes. In fact, I think Hayes was practicing either yesterday or today. He was still I think in a red jersey, but he was practicing. So that's good news for Hayes. And we'll just have to wait and see on Swayze. You know, hopefully we'll get him back, you know, sooner rather than later.
And a couple of kids that, and you'll have to forgive me, the name of one, Lavakius Daniel, I believe, but two kids that transferred in from Ole Miss, cornerbacks, are they showing up in early workouts?
Yeah, in fact, coach, I think for Lavakius, I believe is how you say Daniel, I think had an interception either yesterday or today, and he's also, you know, said some positive things post practice about, you know, Jay Stanley as well. So, it's nice to have guys who've come in. We've got a few transfers. You know, just off the top of my head, Everett Cunningham, a transfer from Memphis, has looked good in practice as well. So, it's going to be an interesting when we move closer to our September 4 opener against South Alabama.
Other quick note, just got some communication, and Jack will know this name, Todd Pinkston, former Golden Eagle and Philadelphia Eagle, who will be coming on the radio show Thursday. He was a pretty good one, wasn't he, Jack?
Yes, he was. I was not here when he was when he played. I was working somewhere else, but I did get a chance to see him on television a few times, and boy, he was something special. And then, you know, went on to have a pretty good NFL career too, if I remember correctly.
That's exactly right, with the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, Luke, back in the conversation.
Jack, switch over to baseball real quick. I haven't talked to you since some of our guys signed, and just off the top of your head, you know, of course, the three going pro with Ock, Stanley, Walker Powell signs a free agent with the Cubs, and then, of course, Reed Trimble. But, you know, a couple of other guys are doing well. Matt Wallner seems to have found a pretty good stick, got injured, but what was looking at that. But it's just cool when there's more names added to those professional Southern Miss baseball players coming up from Hattiesburg.
Yeah, I think we got about 16 or 17 now. Luke playing in professional baseball, you know, always fun to have one of them in the big leagues, and a couple other ones, you know, you kind of hope are knocking at the door. You know, one of them being Kirk McCarty, who's in AAA Columbus for the Cleveland Indians as well, and another one is Cody Carroll in Norfolk, AAA for the Orioles. You know, he's been up, had a couple of cups of coffee. Love to see him get another opportunity, you know, at the big league level. And then, of course, you know, younger guys that are fighting to get up there. Chucky Robinson, AA, and in Chattanooga last time I checked. And then, you know, Matt Walters, finally, he probably was out for a couple of months. He's back in the lineup for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. That's K-E-R-N-E-L-S, not Colonels, but Colonels like the corn, up in Iowa. And so he's in high A ball in the Twins organization. And so he started back, and he was real hot when he started, and he's continued to play pretty well, hitting three in their order. And then Reed Trimble, he got his start or his first game action last Friday with a rookie level team down in Florida. I think they're putting a lot of, you know, minor league baseball from last year to this year has a whole really different look. They ended up, I think, cutting 42 affiliates out, so they've kind of made homogenized minor league baseball a little bit, where the Texas League no longer exists, the Southern League no longer exists. It's just Double A East or Double A West or Double A Central. I don't know all the names of the leagues, but so they've kind of homogenized it a little bit. So you don't have a lot of guys playing in rookie ball anymore. You know, they used to be up in the Northwest. They play up in rookie ball. They play rookie ball in kind of that East Tennessee area. area, the Appalachian League, which has now turned into a summer league, collegiate summer league league. But I could go on for hours talking about all that. But our younger guys that, you know, like Stanley and Powell and Ock, you know, to my knowledge, at least up until Friday, none of them have reported anywhere. I think a lot of it probably has to do with the amount of work they did during the spring and kind of resting their arm, and they'll probably get a shot, you know, later this summer or moving forward towards next spring. So getting their first kind of taste in pro ball, but I'm going to keep watching and looking to see if, you know, when and where they'll make their debuts. But, you know, Trimble made his down in Florida last Friday, and he went 1-for-2 and doubled. In fact, got a chance to see his double. It was down in the left field corner. I don't remember if he's hitting left-handed or right-handed, but the video wasn't great. But I can't tell you, he hit first, and he was playing in left field. So kind of interesting the way that the Orioles had him, and hopefully he continues to grow and get better, and hopefully we'll see him in the big leagues one day.
Totally random. We talked about it off air. You're kind of the guru, the Swami of stuff. And I threw this out to you. I didn't know this. I learned this actually today from a baseball game this weekend. An obscure baseball rule: if a catcher covers up a ball or grabs a ball with his helmet or with his mask, it's an E2, and it is a advancement of the runners. I had no idea. You paused like a millisecond and said, oh, yeah. And then you told me an even more funky rule that we verified through Google a few minutes ago.
Yeah, just basically if a guy throws his glove at a batted ball and he hits it, it's a three base error. So I'm not sure I've ever seen that called. It's one of those that you know, sporting news back in the day used to print a yearly thing. It was called Dottie Problems, and they would go through really weird scoring plays that have happened. And over the years, I try to find those books. I've never had any luck in that, but to kind of pick up on, you know, things that don't necessarily happen very often in a baseball game. But yeah, three bases. I've seen it a few times. You'll see them when you, like, if it's one of those rare rules that you'll see in a kind of a trivia thing. So I just, you know, I don't know if I've ever scored one of those or not.
You're the best, Jack Duggan. We appreciate you, man. Always look forward to having you back on the show again.
Guys, thank you all. Hey, I hope you all have a great week. Come on out to practice. We'd love to see you.
We'll do it. Jack Duggan, everybody, Sports Information Director, Southern Mississippi. Kelly Center, we'll locate him and round him up next.
Southern Miss to the top.
Always good talking to Jack Duggan, Sports Information Director at the University of Southern Mississippi. Football practicing in the mornings. Kind of a different approach from Will Hall and his staff, but 4 days in as the Golden Eagles got back out today. Little excitement, of course, building, and the Golden Eagles in shorts and shoulder pads. Today we always called them shells, and we like that. We like wearing shorts. But anyway, Will Hall, and through day four of his brand new leadership of the Southern Miss football program, and I appreciate Jack coming on and talking a little football, a little baseball with us. Third segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Chicken and dumplings was the lunch of the day today, and actually they announced the menu yesterday. So go on their Facebook page. It's just 4th Street Bar and Grill, and of course, best lunch in town, and always something to do over there. And it's the home of the 1987 NIT Southern Miss basketball signed poster. 4th Street Bar and Grill, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. Luke and Bob from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Kelly Sanner joins us. And, Kelly, just I guess to keep just beating a dead horse, but Trey Lowe is a physical specimen. And I think there was a time in your life that you kind of looked like that. Are you having flashbacks now when you see Lowe out there on the practice field?
Well, I told you, man, years ago I was in a bodybuilding contest and won most abs.
I believe that, Kelly.
Covered or uncovered?
Yeah, most abs, not best, but
right,
most.
Right.
No, he is. This is a quarterback. If you've seen him out there, I mean, he looks like a fullback. I mean, he's just huge, you know. But what makes him so special is you got a guy that's that size that can run as well. And obviously, you'd look at him and you'd just think, well, you know, he's going to be able to throw it, which he can. But he can run it too. I think, and I've never coached a game of football in my life, right? I'm a casual fan, like most Southern Miss fans. But I've seen a lot of quarterbacks play in my 112 years, and he's got a skill set that I think is really going to be, you know, valuable to this team. We mentioned last week that the way to get involved with the Southern Miss football program, that you can help if you're not an Eagle Club member. Because a lot of times people go, well, I can't, you know, I'm not a big money person. I can't, you know, the Eagle Club, that's beyond. There are, of course, different levels of giving an Eagle Club. But if you've never given before, you know, why don't you try this program that they're doing, you pledge per win, okay? So if you do like $20 a game and they win, you know, six games, you're giving them $120, right? You're going to find out that you don't really miss that money. And maybe next year you can step it up, and then maybe next year you can belong to the Eagle Hour. But they're finding great success with this program. I'm an Eagle Club member, but I also signed up for this program as well. So I just wanted to point out you can be both. It's not either or. But if you have never given before and maybe want to try this, to kind of, you know, dip your toes in the water, it'd be a perfect way. And they're having great response with it, especially with Eagle alumni across the country, you know, who can't really take full advantage of their Eagle Club membership because they're not here. But that's a way that they can help. So I just encourage people, you know, to do that as we head into this season. Looking forward to it. Should be fun.
Should be good. Kelly said, yeah. I got a question for you. Peyton Manning goes into the NFL Hall of Fame this weekend.
Right.
Your thoughts about Peyton Manning? He's a Mississippi connected guy, obviously lives in New Orleans, I believe, or I think that's right. But anyway, his family from Drew, Mississippi. Your thoughts about where Peyton Manning stacks up in the lineage of great NFL quarterbacks?
I don't think he's done yet either, Bob. Obviously, his playing days are over. But I think Peyton Manning has a mind that would suit him well as a general manager, you know, making front office decisions. He really has a knack for he doesn't take himself too seriously. I mean, one of the funniest things I've ever seen him do was when he was a guest host on Saturday Night Live and had this skit where he was teaching kids how to break into cars and how to, you know, all these things that you would never dream that Peyton Manning would ever do.
Right.
And he's sitting there telling an 8-year-old kid he better not tell because snitches get stitches. You know, things like that. So he's just really down to earth, doesn't take himself too seriously, and I think that's going to bode well for us. I don't think as far as football accomplishments go, he's done. On the field, obviously, he is. But, again, I just –
Smart guy, no question.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought this was pretty interesting. He was talking about how he and Eli, you know how when – they have these televised events now. There's all these other angles, and they have these different camera angles. Apparently, Monday Night Football this year on ESPN, I'm not sure if it's every week or if it's select games, there's going to be an alternate viewing of it where basically it's Peyton and Eli talking. I think they're in different places. I don't think they're together. But they're going to basically just be talking football while they sit on their couch while they watch the game. So it's like a running commentary. And apparently they're going to have like a special guest each week. I might be intrigued to watch that more than I would the actual broadcast.
Well, Telemundo actually called me and wanted to know if I might be interested in broadcasting Monday Night Football for him. I said, yes, except there's one problem. I don't know any Spanish. So that
that's
would be
a big problem, Kelly.
Yeah,
that's a big problem.
We just could not get over that. We just couldn't get past that. But meanwhile, so while football things are going on, the Southern Miss baseball team has actually got some things happening there. More guys committing to be future Golden Eagles on the baseball field. Luke, one star pitcher from Madison Central who ended the season last year, I think, ranked third in the country. A really good Madison Central team that won the 6A state championship team. One of those pitchers headed to Southern Miss, yes?
What's wild about the Madison Central team last year, they were 34-2. Now, they batted .401 as a team. So they were Ted Williams as a team.
Yeah,
but
now
this kid that's...
That's the average. That's the average, which obviously means some guys batted higher than that, right? At least half of the team batted higher than .401. That's amazing.
They had a .479, a .433, a .400. Of course, Creek Robertson, who's committed to Southern Miss, absolutely dynamite player. He had 31 runs, 29 RBIs on that team. But, yeah, the newest commit to Southern Miss baseball announcing on August the 5th is Chase Russell. Now, when you go to Madison Central's page, he's not listed last year in any of the statistics because he played ninth grade baseball. He's actually a class of 2024, Chase Russell is, and he is listed as far as his bio as a 6'2", 190-pound right-hand pitcher, first baseman, and third baseman, 4.0 student, ACT score of 30, and he's only going to be a sophomore this year. He's a class of 2024. So just remember that name, Chase Russell. And, you know, I'm almost positive no freshman played for that 34-2 team this year, Kelly. But yeah, I mean, already the grades are there. A 6'2 freshman now, you know, his first couple days right now as a sophomore at Madison Central. But he's going to be a good one, too, already committing to Southern Miss.
Well, some of the guys that I went to high school with were, you know, 6'3 or 6'4, you know, eighth graders. Now, they were supposed to be seniors, but, you know.
They had beards, didn't they, Kelly?
Yeah, kids. I didn't hang around with a lot of real brilliant guys when I was in school.
Yeah.
But they'll tell you now in prison how much fun they had.
Do you communicate with them frequently, Center?
Back, you know, through letter only and with no return address.
And a collect call from occasional, is that right?
That's right. So, but yeah, a kid committing that early, that's pretty good, you know, when you jump on these guys. But I think Kirk McCarty at Oak Grove, I think he committed as a sophomore out of Oak Grove High School. In the Hattiesburg area, so it's not unheard of necessarily, but you look at his statistics, just physical statistics, and hopefully he'll continue to develop. And that Madison Central program, man, they've got it rolling right now. So good for him.
Do you think Kurt opened his mouth and told anyone when he committed, or did people have to pry that out of him?
Well, I think people kind of put two and two together because just about, you know, because my son was on those Oak Grove teams and Coach Kaye was there all the time. And you could see Coach Kaye and Kirk, you know, talking, you know, every once in a while.
Kirk and talking, course, that never happened.
Yeah. Coach Kaye had to, you know, every once in a while just, you know, pinch Kirk's lips together and said, okay, my turn. but very shortly after that, then Taylor Braley, you know, committed to Southern Miss. So yeah, he was on. So, but I think McCarty committed as a sophomore. So it's not unheard of.
No.
But the fact that Southern Miss jumps on you, you know, that's pretty good.
No question. Real quickly, I want to go back. We've only got about 25 seconds. Another guy that goes into the Hall of Fame, Kelly, was Megatron, the big, you know, the big receiver from
Detroit.
From the Lions. You know, I sometimes think these guys just maybe go in a little too quickly. Would you agree with that? I mean, is Megatron really a Hall of Famer?
Well, it's for them to decide, though, Bob. That's kind of what I like, is they kind of decide themselves what that bar is. I've never been a big fan of sports writers or fans making those determinations because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in these fantasy leagues, they'll be drafting guys that didn't even play for 3 years just because they've heard of them. You know, but I think that's why these guys get so emotional, too, when they enter those types of Hall of Fame, because they know it came from the very best and other people who know what it's like to walk in their shoes.
All right, we'll be back. Last segment, Monday edition of the Eagle Hour, right after this.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on a Monday brought to you by DBAT Hattiesburg and D1 Training in Hattiesburg, Mississippi on Hardy Street. Labor Day camp coming up for ages 6 to 13. It will be on Labor Day, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Costs $45 divided by age and ability level. Hit DBAT up, 601-438-3228. Some of the best instruction around, the best facilities around, DBAT and D1 in Hattiesburg. Luke and Bob from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg, and Laurel Kelly continues on the phone with us. And Kelly, a Golden Eagle basketball player, kind of we thought had finished his career, moving schools, and will play another year.
And strictly because of COVID, you know, we were talking about high school players are the ones that really get messed up. We're talking about LaDavius Drain, so that people go, okay, who is it? Who is it? LaDavius Drain's done with his career at Southern Miss, and we thought maybe done for good, but he has announced that he is transferring to Tulsa. Where Tulsa is really developing some really good relationships in South Mississippi. Brandon Rochelle, who played for Pearl River Community College's undefeated team a couple of years ago, Brandon Rochelle went there and is now playing with the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA. And now LaDavius Drain, who was, again, he was not in the mix for next year anyway, but and could have gone on his merry way, but decided to invoke his COVID year, so he is headed to Tulsa to play for the Golden Hurricane, and it is Golden Hurricane, by the way, not Golden Hurricanes. He's headed there for another COVID year, but I was saying the high school students are the ones that really suffer, the seniors, because they don't get an extra COVID year, right? So they're all, a lot of these schools are backlogged with plenty of great athletes because of those extra COVID years. The high school guys don't get any extra years, so they just have to really wait in line. Tough for them.
Right.
So, and I guess
part of it too, though, and I'm excited, about the junior college season and helping out with Jones College, and of course we will provide some of that on Super Talk. But as far as you think about how the depth gets moved down, I mean, last year in the few games that were played, I think we had like five. But the talent was so good, and it was because these guys that would normally move on to the next level, it was log-jammed, and so they stuck around. And it just makes a faster game, and some of these guys have moved on, and some of these guys will still stay around. But you're right, really, because of baseball, being granted even another year, it helps us. Right. You know, we get Gabe Montenegro back, but some of these players can't find an opportunity in D1, D2, D3, or even junior college, simply because, I mean, Kelly, it seems as if baseball that is should have the most open holes of a roster anywhere, but you look at how minor league baseball has been depleted, and even right. with baseball, sometimes there's no place for somebody to land.
And these junior college players in baseball, Luke, you got junior college players who want to go back for a fourth year of junior college, and the junior college is going, you've already taken every class.
That wouldn't have been the case with me, but for baseball players, that is.
No, and I keep trying to tell these guys, 6 hours a semester, you're good.
Yeah, slow down, guys. Come on.
But so you're going to have you're going to have 22-year-old guys graduating junior college, which, you know, in Division I school, there might be 26 or 27, before they get out of there. But speaking of baseball, Bob, the Super Talk crews, we're going to be on the road tomorrow in Laurel, Mississippi, yeah?
Right, Dixie Youth World Series, excited about that. We've got a big week planned. Kelly's going to be handling that for us. Ben Brewer, the new baseball coach, and Patrick McGee, now of the New Orleans Time-Picayune, on the show Wednesday. A former Super Bowl star and Golden Eagle megastar, Todd Pinkston, on the show Thursday. We're at Excalibur Vapes on Friday, probably talking to Kelly up at Indianapolis. But yes, Kelly, Dixie Youth World Series, you coached in a couple of those. Magnificent, I think, that the city of Laurel has that.
Yeah, they really, and they have to bid on those every year. So some of these big cities that put up the big bucks, Laurel always puts its best foot forward. And one of the teams participating in it is from the Hattiesburg area, but we're going to get a good perspective. I had the pleasure to coach in the 1989 Dixie Youth World Series, which was hosted by Hattiesburg. And then in 1992, I got to coach in it again over in Augusta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. So,
how big is that for the kids? That's really big for kids to participate in that, is it not?
Oh, and you talk about memories now. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to remember when you were 12 years old to get to play in the city championship or, you know, to win a tournament, but to go, you know, somewhere across the country and meet other players your age, you know, and then follow their careers. And it's not unusual. You know, Craig Tatum from the Hattiesburg area went on to play in the big leagues with the Reds and the Orioles, and that's where a lot of these kids, you know, get their start. So you never know who you might be seeing. You know, Buster Posey, I know, played, you know, in the World Series back in the day, a great catcher with the San Francisco Giants. So we'll be in Laurel tomorrow to talk a little Southern Miss and talk a little Dixie Youth Baseball.
And also on Wednesday, the JT Show will be broadcasting from the same location, so we're going to focus a lot of Super Talk attention on that that great event taking place in Laurel. Luke is out the rest of this week. Kelly and I'll be here through midweek, and we'll carry on. And we hope that you'll join us each and every day at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss
to the top. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.